Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, I have the pleasure of speaking with two women of the theater in the Lehigh Valley who utilize their own backgrounds for finding strength to cope with their own lives and creating new meaning and understanding for taking charge of their lives. We ask, what is home? Why is it so important? And how does a place become essential to our identity? We also talk about laughter. Laughter provides the courage to look at ourselves and find humor and the courage to change. My guests this evening are Mary Wright, a Bethlehem storyteller and Touchstone Theater ensemble member, and also Eastern native Liz Russo, who is a stand-up comic. Mary Wright was born in Burma to missionary parents in the early days of the military government, and at the age of four, her family, along with all foreigners, were forced to leave the country. A storyteller and Touchstone Theater ensemble member, Mary Wright will be presenting Nay Sway, a one-woman show.
That's May Sway.
May Sway, her a one-woman show, which combines storytelling, puppets, and music as she explores her Burmese roots. May Sway will be presented on Thursday, January 14th through Sunday, January 16th at 8 p.m. and on Sunday, January 17th at 2 p.m. at the Touchstone Theater. Liz Russo is an Eastern native who is a stand-up comic who uses comedy and laughter to demonstrate her struggle with addiction and recovery. She will be performing Dry Humor Stand Up for Recovery on Wednesday, January 13th at 8 p.m. at the Fowler Blast Furnace Arts Quest Center on Steel Sacks in Bethlehem. Welcome to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with you, Mary. Okay. You've been a member of Touchstone Theater for many years now.
It's been about 15 years. I moved here to Lehigh Valley 19 years ago, and I got involved with Touchstone almost right away. I took a little break to do more of my own storytelling, and now I'm back again.
And you also did conduct and still conduct a storytelling evening, isn't that correct?
Yes. There's a once in a while story cabaret.
Story cabaret.
Which is an evening for grown-ups to get together and tell stories. I sort of modeled it on the Moth in New York City and Los Angeles and Chicago.
Excuse me, what does Moth stand for?
Moth. The Moth, like a butterfly moth.
Oh, butterfly. Oh. I thought it was short for mafia.
No.
Yeah, different kind of story can't tell.
That's right. That's right. You can tell the story, but you won't live to get to the end of it. But with Story Cabaret, what I wanted was to create a thematic evening with two featured storytellers, each getting about a half hour. And then after which was open mic, so that anyone in the audience who wanted to get up and tell their own story based on whatever the theme was, often they get inspired by something they hear somebody say, and they suddenly think, oh, I remember my Aunt Joan, and they get up and tell about Aunt Joan. And I like encouraging people to talk to each other. I think nowadays conversation and really being able to listen to each other is a dying art form.
I think you hit the key word, listening. We do a lot of talking,
yes,
but very often we forget to listen. And Liz, tell us a little bit.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Liz, the comedy's coming out, yes.
Liz Russo, tell us a little bit about your background. You're an Easton person.
Yes, I moved to Easton at 3 years old with my parents. My dad was the head football coach at Lafayette College, so I grew up on College Hill. My parents are since retired and moved away to North Carolina and didn't give me a forwarding address. So I decided to venture out on my own. And I actually decided to stay. And I have a nice house in the West Ward of Easton. And I kind of made that my home. I'm an only child, so I kind of don't like too much change, and it's a good home base to come back to when I'm traveling around the country. So I enjoy it.
And how did you attended Easton High School, Easton Area High School?
I did. I went through the whole Easton school system from March Elementary School on up and graduated in 1996.
And you became, were you active in the theater department at that time?
I was, yes. Our theater department back in those days, because Shawnee and the Shawnee Theater was probably the best, and I've done some musicals and stuff like that, and debate team and choir, and so I was very active in mm-hmm. all my extracurriculars, and always have been a performer, a ham, as it were. Yeah.
And what turned you on to utilizing your background as a means of sharing your recovery?
Yeah, I mean, all of my I became a stand-up comic because I really felt like I had something to say, and I really wanted to own my own story. And the funniest things happen in life, and also it helps us to heal from traumatic experiences as well. So, you know, when I became a stand-up comic, everything is autobiographical in my act. So there are lots of stand-up comics, so we'll do politics and all of that other kind of stuff, but everything comes from my own life, and I find great power in telling our stories. I think that's mm-hmm. something that we have in common, yeah. that Mary and I have in common.
Now, you had a trigger incident. Can you tell us about that? That really, really provoked your interest?
Sure. Yeah, although I was always a performer, I never thought I'd be a stand-up comedian, and in college at American University, I was in an improv troupe called Mission Improvable, and it was great, and it was like a whose line is it anyway? And an audience member had to give me a celebrity to play, and he shouted out, "She's the fat girl from Wilson Phillips," back when she was also overweight, and I was overweight, and I looked quite like her with the bangs and the whole thing. But it stung. It hurt. And I never thought I would get on stage again. I felt humiliated in front of hundreds of my peers. But after sort of processing my feelings through eating a cake.
In one sitting or
oh, yes. Week? Oh, yes. No. I have to eat my emotions, much like I drank my emotions later. But I got over it, and I said, you know what, he's not going to win, and I started writing my own material to combat what he had said to me, to kind of take that power back. And I went on stage singing Hold On for One More Day with a big box of donuts with jelly coming out, you know, and said some of my first stand-up material, which got great applause. And the heckler actually gave me a thumbs up and said he really respected me and thought I was hilarious. And he wasn't trying to be mean. He was trying to be funny. And he said I really impressed him. And then that's when my light bulb went off. And I said,
good for you. So
this is my thing.
This is your thing. And Mary, tell us, how did you become interested in exploring your own background in this upcoming presentation that you're making?
Oh, good question. It's a long story. I'll try to make it short.
And before you begin, yes. I just want to let you know, in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY. And my guests this evening are Mary Wright, Bethlehem storyteller and Touchstone Theater ensemble member, and Easton native and stand-up comic Liz Russo. So go ahead and now tell us how...
Okay.
How did you decide that this was something important for you to explore?
Well, as a storyteller and a theater artist, part of what I have been doing for the last 30 years has been finding ways to tell stories, whether that's my own or other people's stories. And I've been doing a lot of coaching with people who are interested in finding ways of telling their own story. And I often talk to them about how sometimes stories aren't ready to be told yet, and that at some point you will realize when the time has come to tell that particular story.
That's very true.
And so for me, this particular story of getting kicked out of Burma, getting kicked out of our home, getting kicked out of where we thought we were going to be for the rest of our lives, was not something I was really even thinking about as a story. And then I had the experience of many, many years later, finally getting a chance to go back. And I was so young when we left, I didn't think I remembered anything.
How young were you?
I was four.
Four.
I was 4 years old when we got kicked out. And so when I returned, I discovered that while I may not have specific anecdotal memories, I had so many overwhelming sense memories that kept making me think I was about to burst into tears.
Can you give us an example of sense memories?
Sure.
That you're having?
There was a time when I went to visit a particular temple, and I realized that the gateway was a particular shade of red, and something clicked inside for me, and it was like, that's why that particular shade of red is the shade of red. I need to have something in my house that shade of red, no matter where I live. And it had never made sense to me before, and suddenly there was like, oh, click. The smell of the frangipani tree, the smell of food being cooked out on the street by a vendor, you know, that certain smells and tastes and sight and sounds just really resonated very, very deeply. And then a number of years later, I discovered that there were a lot of Burmese refugees here in the Lehigh Valley. And that was the moment when I had the big aha moment that, like, okay, now I can tell this story. I can start working on this because it's not just my story anymore. It's a bigger story than that. There's a lot of people that have had to leave that country, and here in the United States, many people don't even know where Myanmar, Burma is. They don't know the history. And so I thought, okay, this is a chance for this to not just be my story. It's also, it's a bigger story. It's a universal story, and it needs to be told.
And you will not only tell the story, but you use puppets, you use music, instruments.
Yes.
And you work the puppets yourself?
I do. I have two marionettes that actually are from Burma. And I have the doll with me that I had in Burma, and I have had with me ever since. And she helps tell the story. And there's dance, there's music, there's singing, there's a lot of acting.
that is wonderful. Now, we just have a few minutes left, but Liz Russo.
Yes.
You're going to be having a one-woman stand-up presentation this Wednesday evening.
It's actually, there are three comics that are all in recovery, myself and two others. I decided to do this show because it's my five-year sober anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, not yet, but soon. And so it's going to benefit the Livengren Foundation in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, which was the inpatient rehab that I attended. It's for a scholarship fund. So when insurance runs out, the scholarship fund kind of takes over. Mm. They helped me, and I really felt like it saved my life. And I've been in touch with Livengren ever since. And so I'm donating all the proceeds to them.
Well, that is wonderful. So we're going to talk more about the utilization of storytelling and humor.
Sure.
To help us in understanding our background, mm-hmm. and how our lives and the background of our lives really help us to understand and help us to take charge of our lives when we return to WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
WDIY offers classical music 6 days a week, including Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, Sunday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., and Sunday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. WDIY Classics covers all eras from medieval and baroque, romantic to modern. Listen for birthday tributes to composers, interviews with local artists and conductors, and the classical events calendar each week. For more information, visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. This evening we're talking with Mary Wright, Bethlehem storyteller and Touchtone Theater ensemble member and Eastern native and stand-up comic Liz Russo. And we're talking about two presentations that will be occurring this week. We're very rich in the Lehigh Valley.
Absolutely.
We are.
We are. Well, when I say rich, it means that you don't have to spend a ton of money to get to New York on transportation and parking when we can come to the Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem, and we're
the Steel Stacks at Arts Quest in Bethlehem as well. Yeah, the Lehigh Valley has lots to offer.
So much going on.
Lots of talent.
Right. So we're very enriched this week especially. And Mary, tell us about your show and the impact that it has made on your life. You call it?
It's called Meswe, which is Burmese for my friend. And for me, I think personally, it has allowed me to sort of put into practice what I've been preaching to other people about finding ways to tell their stories, and that as a way of processing my own family's background and history, as well as my own, and as a way of exploring kind of what does being home even mean? You know, and that feeling of belonging, what does that mean? And for me, for other people, and so being able to kind of work through very old buried memories and finding ways to tell the stories of some of the refugees from Myanmar who I interviewed, and I retell some of their own stories as them, and, you know, hopefully being able to give voice to people who may not feel like they have an opportunity to give voice to themselves in this community.
So what you're saying is that you've utilized the refugees who've come to this country from Burma,
mm-hmm.
and you have interviewed them and have their stories,
yes,
as part of your own story.
Yes.
Meswe.
Meswe.
What does Meswe mean?
It means my friend in the Burmese language.
In the Burmese language.
Yes.
And so you have given Burmese refugees an opportunity to share their story as well.
Yes, I talked with about 30 different people, including my own family. So it was interesting actually talking to my mom and dad about their memories of leaving Burma, because that was something that we never really talked much about growing up. Talking to my siblings about what they remember. And so being reminded again of how ephemeral memory is, and that what one person remembers will be very different from what another person remembers, but it doesn't make either one of them wrong. And that by taking a look at these old stories that we've always sort of told one particular way and kind of turning that little jewel of a story so that light shines through from a different angle, we see a new facet.
Can you give us an example of that?
I think for me, the story of what my parents and my siblings remember of the day that we left Burma, and what was really struck me for that, for them, the strongest memories they have of that day were sense memories. You know, my mom being able to see a pile of peanuts, of the sandals, of the people who, friends of ours who were waiting at the airport as they stood barefoot in a prayer circle, my sister feeling as if she couldn't breathe. My other sister, all she can remember is the sound of the metal gates as they slammed shut behind us. You know, those kinds of powerful sense memories. And
were you able to take anything from your home, or did you have to? Were you limited to a certain amount of luggage that you?
We were somewhat limited, but I mean, again, when I talked with some of these refugees who escaped barely with their lives, who have nothing. It put into perspective for me how very fortunate, in a way, our family was, because we were able to bring some things with us. And when the country finally opened its borders again, the first thing my parents did was go back for the 3-day visa they were allowed. And my sister lives in Thailand, and so she's able to go back periodically. And so ever since the borders reopened, you know, I have stuff from Burma, and a lot of these resettled refugees don't.
Now, you have stuff, and some of that stuff is going to be in,
it's, yes,
in the
it
presentation
is.
Of Meswe. Tell us what that stuff is.
There are two marionettes.
From Burma.
From Burma. One is a very traditional marionette of one of the gnats, which is one of the guardian spirits, N-A-T. Not G-N-A-T, no.
Yeah, I'm glad you spelled it, because I was just spelling G-N-A-T. Like,
what? They have guardian mosquitoes? What? No, a gnat, an N-A-T is a guardian spirit. And so they have what's called a pwe, which is a celebration, a festival, and marionettes is one of the big ways that they do storytelling with marionettes.
In Burma.
In Burma. And so... I have some of my Burmese marionettes. I have lacquerware. I have the tiny little top, Karen top from the Karen tribal group that I wore when I was 4 years old.
Do you have any dolls?
I have my doll that I've had since we left Burma. I brought my doll out of Burma with me, and she has stayed by my side ever since.
Wonderful.
That's great.
Liz, tell us how you have felt that utilizing humor has been important in helping to, number one, in recovery, and number two, in helping you to tell your story and make peace with it.
Sure, absolutely. I think the best humor will come as you're healing and after you've healed. I think Mary talked a little bit about she wasn't ready to tell the story yet. And I felt that way for a lot of years. I had been through a lot, and a lot of it was very traumatic. And I wasn't ready. Nothing was funny to me at all. In an early recovery, especially, it's really hard to find laughter in those rooms. And
when you say those rooms...
You know, those places in churches where a lot of people are outside smoking, you know, anonymous rooms.
Oh.
It's not very anonymous when you see that. You kind of know what's going on. But but yeah, we kind of call that in the rooms, at the 12-step programs.
Right.
And so I mean, I have a lot of interesting things that have happened to me throughout my life with weight loss and the struggle with that, and addiction and the struggle with that, and alcoholism.
When you say, alcoholism mm-hmm. and weight.
Yes. I mean, it's sort of two sides of the same coin. The parallels are amazing. And I do talk about that in my act as well. But the bottom line is everyone has a struggle, and everyone has something that has happened to them. And sometimes that comes with a lot of shame and embarrassment, and so I hope that when I tell my story, that people find their own courage to tell theirs. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of it. But I mean, when I decided to find recovery, sort of, my parole officer,
recovery was thrust upon you.
Yes, yes, my higher power thought it best to come through a parole officer, who I still owe a fruit basket to, I think, for saving my life. But I was incarcerated for a second offense DUI, and actually ended up overstaying my welcome for a year in Northampton County Prison, and then 4 years of state parole. Mm-hmm. They couldn't incarcerate the addiction out of me. When I was released, I went back to drinking. I was because I had not received treatment. And so basically... I had to go into my parole officer. I had violated parole. He said, "Can you get to rehab tomorrow? If you don't, we're sending you back upstate to state prison." And I said, "Oh, okay. I haven't tried rehab yet. Let's do that." So I actually drove myself drunk to the Living Grin Foundation in Bensalem with a six-pack in my trunk in case it did not work out. So that just tells you the insanity of what addiction can do. And by the grace of God, January 16th, 2011 was my last drink, and when I entered Living Grin, and I'm coming up on my 5-year sober anniversary, and that's why I'm doing this comedy show.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
and,
much.
You know, it sounds like this show is going to be an inspiration to so many people.
I hope so, and it's not just for people in recovery, although recovery touches the lives of everyone. And addiction as well. So, but it's going to be a good night, you know, of storytelling and humor, and from, you know, three different recovery comics.
Did you have any experience in prison that you found that you could...
Hilarious? Why, yes.
I didn't want to use that term.
Mention that.
You know, there was this one time. Yeah, I mean, it's humiliating to have to pee in a cup and to get strip searched and to go through all of these things that if you don't work in a prison or you haven't been incarcerated, you're not really... you don't know what happens there. Although there is, you know, Orange is the New Black. And I'll watch that and I'll go, oh my gosh, we had the same blankets. You know, I look at it from a different perspective now. And so it's fascinating.
Liz, let me ask you something. Do you feel that it would be helpful to have some kind of rehabilitative program in prison for people who are looking to recover from addiction?
Is that a rhetorical question? Yes, of course. There should be a lot more treatment programs offered in facilities. The recidivism rate is so incredibly high, especially here in Northampton County. When I got sober, also, other than just the humor, I became a certified recovery specialist, and I work in a recovery house in the mental health and addiction field. And so that's something else that I do other than just, you know, tell jokes on stage. So
that is wonderful that you have become a certified recovery specialist,
mm-hmm.
as well as to use the humor of your own background to help people to face themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't have the courage. They say,
it's hard.
That's not me.
No.
That's not me.
Absolutely. And that's important. You have to be honest with yourself and others, open and willing, and that's how it works.
And the ability to own the problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
sure.
Most people who are in addiction don't own it. So how do we get to see your show, May Sway, at the Touchstone Theater? How do we do that?
You can go to touchstone.org, the website, and you can order your tickets online, or you can call the theater at 610-867-1689 and order your tickets that way. Or you can just come. Thursday night is Pay What You Will. That's opening night. And then there are student and senior ticket prices as well.
And there's a Sunday matinee.
And there is a Sunday matinee.
At 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Tell us about how we get to see you, Liz Russo.
Yes. The comedy show, Dry Humor, Stand Up for Recovery, will be at the Steel Stacks in Bethlehem. You can go to steelstacks.org. It's $15. The show is at 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 13th. And you can also go to livinggrin.org if you'd like to make a donation, and my website, thelizrusso.com.
Thank you so much, Mary Wright, Bethlehem storyteller and Touchstone Theater Ensemble member, and Easton native and stand-up comic Liz Russo, for helping us to see that we have the ability to stand tall and strong by examining our lives and utilizing our autobiography for our struggle with addiction, and that we can find the courage in laughter and in the story of our background to make changes, find acceptance, stand tall, and take charge of our lives. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.